This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today I'm going to talk about a message. I call it Monkey See, Monkey Do. You know, people follow the example of others. People follow bad example. Thus the saying, Monkey See, Monkey Do. But you know, the Lord hasn't called us to be like monkeys. He's called us to be sons of God, to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, to walk after his steps, to be like him. And that's the beauty about being a true Christian. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you repent before God, you have your faith towards God, that you become baptized, immersed into Jesus Christ himself. And as Jesus Christ himself rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, you can live a new life by being resurrected by the same power of God, walking in a new life, free from sin, from the law of sin and death. That's what God's called you to, all of us, to be followers of Jesus Christ, to follow his example. And this is why we have a scripture, the Bible. It's a book that shows us the pleasing ways of God, and it contrasts with the errors of many, a people, Israel, false prophets, idolatry, corruption that befalls the people of God. But even in Jesus' day, who came to his own, and his own received him not, and it was a religious people. And I'm speaking today with the desire to have the same heart and passion of Apostle Paul when he wrote that he was jealous over the people of God, with a godly jealousy that he would present them to Jesus Christ, the people of the Lord, as a chaste virgin, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. See, we are to be pure, clean, not worldly, not defiled with our garments, but they're to be white, robes of righteousness that are in Jesus Christ. So God's not called us to be like monkeys. He's not called us to be like animals in base desires, corrupted. But he's called us to be living sons of God for his glory and praise. As I said, in the first century, there was various religious experience, just like there's various religious experience and styles today. In Israel, they had been kicked out of their own land centuries before and returned to Israel. And now they had rabbis. Now they had extra biblical beliefs and customs and traditions. And they were just passed down succeeding generations. Why did the people do what they did? Because that's the way it's been done before. And thus Jesus came unto them and he says, you know, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. You full well, your worship is in vain. You make the word of God of no effect by keeping tradition over the scripture. And there was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Samaritans, the chief priests, the elders of Israel in that day, the Sanhedrin. And it became very political as well. And Israel was occupied by Rome. And the religious leaders in that day, as is custom today, religious spiritual leaders trying to get in cahoots with the powers that be. And they compromised the truth. Become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. So this is the call of the Spirit of God today, to be followers of Jesus Christ, disciples, doing as directed by the Spirit of God. We should learn from the example of others. We learn from the example of error that we don't walk in the same way. And that was one of the first things that the Lord ever taught me as a new Christian. And when I was walking with the Lord starting in 1981, was the Lord Jesus Christ is my example. To learn of him, to let him be my life, and to walk in pleasing ways before the Lord. And it didn't matter what the multitudes did. And I was struggling as a young man. I'd say, Lord, but most people do this and most people do that. And that's when the Spirit of God said to me, it doesn't matter what most people do. What will you do? And we walk before the Lord. We have to give account of our life. How do we use God's grace? How do we use the things that God taught us? Were we faithful? Because he's a potter, but we're clay. And we can either be brittle and resisting him, or we can be pliable as putty and let him mold us into the image of his dear son, It's a cost for following the Lord, but it's worth it. I was watching the TV monitor at the gym yesterday, and I saw T.D. Jakes was being interviewed by Larry King on CNN. And I wasn't hearing the words, but I was reading the transcript. You know, I didn't hear anything about Jesus. I didn't hear him talking about the cross. I didn't hear him talk about repentance. Now, he may have. I only saw, you know, maybe 10 minutes of the program. But what I did hear him talking about was a type of language that was talking about the frailties of people, the errors of people, mistakes of people. He was talking about Oprah Winfrey, how no one's perfect, how she's a mentor of people. You know, it's true, we want to get along with people, but we're to be as ministers of Jesus Christ. We have to speak the truth in love. Regardless of the cost, regardless if people find it popular to speak the truth, we have to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that a man can lay but Jesus Christ. So if we can acknowledge the truth that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and then all of us need to repent before God, then why are the famous ministers withholding the truth of repentance before the Lord and upholding Jesus Christ, exalting him, lifting him up, his words, lifting them up, and declaring and speaking according in harmony with that word? Why? Because men are being tempted to be pleasers of men rather than pleasers of God, who tries our heart. Every man, every woman, every child will give account to the Lord. When Jesus was here in Matthew 23, he went through the religious system. He saw the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in Moses' authority position. But Jesus was pointing out how they were hypocrites, actors. They'd say one thing and do another. Or they'd proclaim what was right and what was wrong, but they wouldn't do it themselves. And they put people in bondage instead of liberating people. They controlled people because they viewed people as a way of making money. And you're not going to find any greater thing that makes Jesus Christ more angry than making a racket, making a business of the holy things of God. When Jesus one day came to the temple, this is recorded in Matthew 21, verse 12, he cast them all out that were selling and buying in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. You know, people were traveling from all over the world to keep the feasts or the set times of God, and they were to bring a sacrifice before the Lord. This is what God had dictated. But somehow the purpose of God to bring a sacrifice was lost in the business affairs of buying and selling and presenting sacrifices before the Lord of hosts. And Jesus saw this, and he took a whip and whipped them and kicked over the tables, and you can hear the scurrying sounds of the coins running through the ground, and the animals flying and scurrying, and the hoofs of the animals. It was quite a scene. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." And Jesus, after that, he saw the blind and the lame, and they came to him, and he healed them. You see the power of God operating in the perversity of a religious system. And the same is true in our day. And we all have to make a decision. Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to be pleasing to man? Or are we going to be pleasing to God? And why do we do the things that we do the way we do them? Are we following the example of the Lord? Are we monkey see, monkey do? Why does the church world today, for example, 501c3, a tax status with the United States government, the IRS. Did you know a corporation is a non-living entity? And is it any wonder that in the religious church world, churchianity, is there any wonder why the life of God is absent? Or the power of God? Or the conviction of the Spirit? Or the voice of the Lord? It's a racket for the most part. It's defiled. And this is why God has people from all over the world coming outside the religious system, even as it was in the first century with Jesus, when the people came out to hear John the Baptist declaring the truth of repentance and making right what was wrong, making restitution to people, bringing forth fruit that demonstrates your repentance. And the religious system was offended with John the Baptist. And he called it as it was. They were serpents. I say the fear of the Lord shall be established in the earth, and judgment begins in the house of God. So you better be careful. If you're involved with the holy things of God, if you call yourself a pastor, are you a shepherd? You call yourself a prophet, do you speak your words or God's? Are you selling the holy things of God? When Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. If we only followed the example of Jesus, things would be done so differently. I share this because nothing is new under the sun. When Jesus continued to, in Matthew 23, describing that religious system, the Pharisees, he said all their works, in verse 5, they do to be seen of men. Think about that. All the works of the Pharisees, this religious spirit, was to be seen by men. And this is something that is so profound, that men, women invent things. They invent alms. They invent things to get a reaction out of the people, because that's what it's all about, is what the people think. They show hungry babies in Africa or little old ladies, and they're going to send support. But it's motivated to be seen by men because they are looking for a reaction of people to get bring the money in. And I say anathema. That is filthy lucre. It is contrary to Jesus Christ. This religious system in Matthew 23 that Jesus called them hypocrites. He said they were into their appearances, the phylacteries. They enlarged the borders of their garments, what they looked like on the outside. They loved the prestige and the honor of sitting in the chief place and the feasts and then in the synagogue. They loved the greetings and the titles, rabbi, rabbi, prophet, teacher, Christ, great one. And Jesus said, do not call anyone father, for you have one that's your father, which is in heaven. And he said, don't call anyone master. You have one master, the Messiah, Christ. And Jesus made it very clear, he that's greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be abased. And he that shall be humble himself shall be exalted. The kingdom of God is opposite the kingdom of this world. Yet we have a religious system that operates as the kingdom of the world. And this is why God has written Ichabod upon so much religious system. It's a stench before the Lord. It might look beautiful on the outside, like a white sepulcher in the mausoleum, engraved, fancy, polished, but on the inside, dead men's bones, corruption, excess, extortion, and it stinks. Why is it this way? Because it's monkey see, monkey do. They're not following the example of the Lord.